started by just, if we could just go around the room, I know we talked, we introduced ourselves, but if we could just do it one more time, and then just what your name is and what your relationship with Anastasia Adams. Doctor?
I'm Dr. Thathagari, internal medicine physician.
And you're the
taking care of the dental condition.
Okay.
My name is Andrea Marisi, I represent Yolanda Ben.
I'm Lori Kirkland, I am outside counsel to ANOVA.
I'm Saban Johnson, I'm a clinic guardian ad litem.
I'm Maureen Burfey, Assistant Vice President for Risk Management for ANOVA Health System.
I'm Brian Miller, Director of Patient Relations at ANOVA Health System.
Kathy Marshall, friend of Yolanda's, and Bob Marshall's wife.
I'm Kathy Marshall's husband, and I was elected in 1991. Every 2 years thereafter, my office has assisted Yolanda and her sister, I don't know how many years, for various Medicaid, whatever it is, we've just been involved from when she was living in Heritage Hunt to right now, so.
I'm Yolanda Bell. I'm Anastasia's sister and her power of attorney.
Okay. So what we want to get through today is talk about some of the relevant topics that continue to come up and talk about the care that we provided to Anastasia and ensure that we all get our questions answered today. Anastasia's been in the hospital for nearly a month and a half or 2 months. And so we don't want to get into the granular nature of all the care that's been provided, but talk about some of the things that, Yolanda, you have questions about that we've talked about in the past. And our goal is to get through this within the hour. We don't want to dive into the medical record and all that, but just talk about, in general, where we are and where we think we need to go. I'll start out by talking about that I've been superficially involved with the case for the last month or so, as you know, when I came and spoke with you. And I've spoken with all the physicians, and Anastasia's been stable for discharge from our point of view since last week of December. She's still stable for discharge. She does have, you did have some other questions, specifically around the blood clot in her right arm, the pericardial effusion, the nutrition status, and where we want to discharge Anastasia. I have had some conversations with the cardiologist and Dr. Balaji and Dr. Garfori, who was the second opinion for the consult for cardiology. And we did get an echocardiogram yesterday, and that pericardial effusion was dramatically reduced. So there's no indication to do anything with the pericardial effusion. The right blood clot has gone down dramatically in the right arm, and the doctor started Anastasia on a low dose of Lovenox yesterday, or today, one of the two, that she can be discharged with. The infectious disease physician, Dr. Maureen, help me with that. Dr. Gowda.
Mm-hmm.
Spoke with her Friday. And she had signed off on a case late December, and she sees no reason to do any further involvement from her standpoint, especially around the pericardial effusion. And then we also spoke with, that's Dr. Eschler. Yeah, that's everybody and doctor as well. So that's the platform of which we want to begin our conversation. And doctor, do you have anything to add on the case at this point? Is it your opinion that Anastasia is still stable for discharge?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yolanda, what further questions do you have that we can help bring some light on today?
Okay. We said that the DVT is dramatically reduced. Did they do a Doppler on that?
I think there was a Doppler done. Yeah. Somewhere in the notes it said it's been reduced.
And when did they do that?
I don't know the answer to that.
I think it was January 5th.
January 5th,
and today is the 28th.
Yeah.
I actually have that report.
Okay.
I don't believe that it said it was dramatically reduced. It did say it was smaller,
okay.
But it didn't say it was dramatically reduced.
Okay, no, we don't need to pull it out. That's fine.
Okay.
So it's reduced, and Dr. Eschler put a note in the chart saying he's going to start her on Lovenox to prevent further blood clots from forming at some point.
Okay, now part of the reason why they DC'd the Lovenox before was because they were worried about bleeding around the heart. How has that changed?
The pericardial fusion is gone, so it wasn't blood.
It's not gone. It's smaller.
It's a lot smaller.
Yeah, but it's not gone.
Right. So it wasn't blood, so there's no need to worry about Lovenox causing pericardial
bleeding. How do they know? Did they test the fluid? How do they know it wasn't blood?
No, you don't test the fluid and put somebody in. You don't do a pericardial tap on someone that doesn't need it.
Well, that's not what I'm saying. Yeah. But how do you know it was not blood? Because this was a discussion that Dr. Balaji and I had.
Right. The reason you think it's not blood is because we had an inflammatory reaction in the lungs, pneumonia, and that caused an inflammatory reaction in the heart.
Okay. Now, one of your cardiologists doesn't believe that it was infection-based.
Okay. I'm just telling you where we are right now.
Okay.
I didn't say infection-based, inflammatory-based.
Inflammatory-based,
yes.
Okay. Actually, I'll have to relook at that. Now, the echo that they did yesterday did say that, yes, that it was smaller. Now, it was talking, the measurements that it gave were anteriorly and it might have been posteriorly or it was one or the other. But the initial echo was talking about the circumference of it. Wait a minute. It is... Yeah, the circumferential PE measurements based upon what they were before. So did, when they were looking at it, did it... It was larger in the back and on one side than it was in the front and on the other side. So I'm wondering, what the report does not say anything about the side that was extremely large.
Right. The pericardial fusion in and of itself, besides the etiology of it, is related. What we worry about pericardial fusions is if they cause pressure on the heart.
Right.
There is no pressure on the heart at all. So the measurements that they take are really not relevant to the discussion today. What's relevant is... Does Anastasia have a significant pericardial fusion that needs either a pericardial window or a needle put into it? And the answer to that question is no.
Okay. Now, when comparing the two actual echoes that were done, or the three, well, one, two, three, the fourth one, actually, she now has all kinds of issues with the right side of her heart that she didn't have before, that didn't show up on the first echo. I'm wondering why that is and what significance that plays and the risks and all that associated with that, given that it's not completely gone.
An echocardiogram is done to look at the pericardial fusion and the function of the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And the function of the heart is within normal limits at this point in time. There are some abnormalities that people do have, but it's not causing any objective change in her vital signs.
Well, her blood pressure was extremely low last night, and it has been fluctuating all over the board for like well over a week. Her heart rate, even sleeping, is in the 90s, and it's never been like that before.
And it will be. You know, blood pressures go up and down, especially when you're bedridden.
Mm-hmm.
And they can go down to the 80s and 70s,
mm-hmm.
and they can go up in the 150s and 160s. That can do that. Again,
well, no, her bottom number was at 50.
That's not
the diastolic.
That's not anything to be
concerned. They're now saying that she has a it's a grade 1 diastolic dysfunction, which she didn't have before. Now, how does that relate to the pericardial effusion?
It shouldn't.
It shouldn't.
All. No, because if there was a large effusion, then you'd expect something like that. But not with the small effusion.
So the effusion actually caused that,
no.
In other words?
No.
Well,
You
can't say that?
No.
Well, what... Because this isn't something she had before. It's not something that they annotated on any of the previous one, two, three echoes that they did.
Sometimes things show up in one echo and not the subsequent, or subsequent and not the prior. It's not really that relevant.
Well, grade it is one, if she didn't have it before.
No, not really. I mean, if it's grade 3, grade 4, fine. But this is, you know, it could be the way they did the test. Could be a lot of things. But it's not causing a significant change in her current status.
Okay.
Dr. Betzalis, would you say a grade one is an incidental finding?
It could be incidental, so yeah.
It does not have any, it would not have any adverse effect on it.
Really? Well, they had already notated on one of them that the right side wasn't filling properly. And that as far as the volume and all that in the blood that was in there. So I'm thinking that all of this is interrelated.
It has no, it really doesn't have a clinical relevance at this point in time, one. Two, the overall picture of the cardiovascular status of Anastasia is stable. There's not anything else we're going to do in the hospital today or tomorrow or next week. That's the point we need to talk about.
Okay. Okay, what dosage of the Levonox did they put her on, do you know?
40 milligrams.
40, thank you.
And that's sub-Q, right?
Sub-Q, yeah.
Once a day. Prophylaxis.
Okay.
Can we move on from the...
Yeah, we'll move on for the moment. Going to her nutrition. I don't see the nutritionist here.
No, she's not here.
She's not here? Okay. Because her nutrition and her hydration, that has been something that, the way that it's been handled, let's just say it could have been handled a lot better. It's been fluctuating back and forth on what they've actually had her on. It's like they've reduced her nutrition from what she normally gets, because she's down to 90, let's see, when I weighed her, I didn't weigh her when I was upstairs today, but when I weighed her last night, she was down to...
She's in the 100s, 110 range right now.
114.
Okay, no, well then you have to subtract 16 pounds for the actual three things that they have on the foot of her bed. I've weighed them, they weigh 16 pounds. The bed is zeroed out with that, so it does not account for those 16 pounds. Which means that she is, she's at 98 pounds.
So when she came in, she was a little heavier, right?
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. And when she came in, she was also, according to the cardiologist, felt that they had to give her a lot of Lasix and get rid of a lot of water. And that's where we believe the most of the water.
Well, no, with the Lasix, she was down to 92.
Right. But now it's coming back up, right? So she's somewhere around 98 to 101.
No, she's 98. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Which is,
what is
she's
her
5'2".
Optimal weight?
Her optimal weight, her and her regular weight is 115 to 120. Generally, she was at 113 when she was released from Reston, I believe.
Okay.
So, but that's her normal weight range is from like 115 to 120.
Right. So,
she's 5'2", so.
With Anastasia's current nutritional status. The feedings that we've gone on, I read through some of the notes, they're doing some changing and trying to control various electrolytes, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And it's being very, very fine-tuned by the nutritionist.
Right, along with nephrology.
Right. So from our perspective, Anastasia is stable for discharge, and that can be managed at a SNF unit, not with inside the hospital. So they can continue managing that and get her weight up.
Mm-hmm.
They can give her various types of G-tube feeds, that kind of thing. And that can be done at a SNF. So what we're trying to talk about today is there anything that's going to prevent Anastasia's discharge from the hospital? And that's not one of them.
Well, at least my understanding part of the meeting was to discuss that, but also to discuss the other issues that we were having with the pericardial effusion, the DVT, and her nutrition, and the fact that her hydration and everything was being restricted and her nutrition was being restricted. Now, I've spoken with Brandy... probably two or three times, and possibly four, regarding what's going on with her nutrition. And we switched from, and this was supposed to have been done early on, but we finally did switch to the 2-cal, which provides additional calories. However, with the rate that they lowered it to, because it was going at 55, and then they lowered it down to 35, it actually reduces her calorie count. Now, then Brandy said that she was going to add in, I guess, ProSource for the protein, and then she also additionally eventually added in 2 packs of Juven. She hasn't been given it. Whether it's been ordered or not, it hasn't been given to her.
Well, are you there all the time?
I'm there a good majority of the time, but there's 11 of these things in the room that have been stacking up on the counter that these have been ordered and brought in, but they haven't been given to her. So she's not getting it.
Okay.
So I don't quite understand what, first of all, why this is and why it is. I mean, it's almost like the hospital is appearing to do something or they're putting it on paper, but then it's not being given. So how is she expected to, I mean, the her nutritional status, what's needed to heal, how is she supposed to get that when this isn't being done?
I don't know. It's the first time hearing about this. I'll certainly look into it.
Okay.
Do you know anything about that?
Okay. Well, Brandy knows about it. I spoke to her 3 days ago. I had a 10-15 minute conversation with her.
Okay, what did she say?
She said that, well, no, she was being given it, and then she was going to raise the amount that was on there, and she hasn't been given any today either. She didn't receive her dosage last night. She hasn't been given any today.
Well, let's look at this from, and I'm not saying that somebody's not missing something, and that may very well be the case. But what I will say is that if she wasn't getting anything, we'd see it in her electrolytes, and we're not seeing that. We're not seeing it in her urine and creatinine and all that, all the numbers that we look at if somebody's dehydrated.
Okay, and well, her BUN is extremely high.
I know, as is
a few, and there's several.
I looked at her numbers this morning, and there's nothing there that's really concerning, but I will tell you this. I need to look into that. And
okay.
If it's something that we made a mistake on, we'll come forward with it and apologize.
Okay.
If it's not, then we'll have to figure out why there's extra stuff in the room, because that's not supposed to be that way.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very concerned about that, and I'm glad you brought that to our attention.
Mm-hmm.
Maureen, will you talk with Randy tomorrow or Monday?
Mm-hmm.
And then we need to talk with the clinical director of the APU and find out if this is just extra that they bring into the room, or it's somebody forgot to do something.
5 days.
Yolanda, did you ask the nurses anything?
Because when you ask in the evening, because she's only getting she gets the Juven twice a day and the ProSource once a day, and they would say, oh, well, that's something that's given during the day. And that's all they would say. Because the nurses also have been ordered not to give me any medical information on my sister.
Say that again.
Ordered not to give me any medical information on my sister, and that I was not allowed to make decisions for her. This came from Dr. Armstrong on the 6th of January.
Dr. Armstrong is an ethicist, and as you know, I'm the chief medical officer,
right.
And people talk with you, and they can continue to talk with you. What we don't want to do is have nurses talk to you and send you various opinions on when Anastasia is going to be discharged and have those conversations, because we know it causes you anxiety, and you don't need to have that. So that's what they're not supposed to talk to you about. They can talk to you about all of her nutrition. They can talk to you about whatever it is that you need to talk about.
Well, that's actually good to hear, but that's not what they were told.
Okay.
Because this all actually happened in my presence, and it was reiterated every single day.
Okay. I've been there subsequently to those things, and I've talked with the nurses, and no one's told me that. So we have, obviously, a gap, which is
okay.
Fine. But, you know, I'll reiterate that we make sure that the nurses are talking to you about her care.
Okay. No, I forgot what I was going to say. Can you think of anything that I'm missing? Because I was going to say something, I can't remember what it was.
The lungs. Are the lungs also clear? Because that was also, we had the pleural effusion.
Right, that's right. A pleural effusion that was there. Is that gone?
I think it was on January 8th, the chest x-ray shows left pleural effusion essentially resolved. And there is no large pleural effusion, no pneumothorax.
Good.
That was on the 8th.
Yeah.
Okay, now given that we're still suctioning quite a bit, out of her lungs and all of that. When was the last X-ray that was done?
That's the last X-ray, January 8th.
Okay, now she's run subsequent fevers since then. Now, and sometime between that time and now, she actually came down with some sort of, I guess, either it was an infection or because her fever had spiked up into the hundreds. Now, I was never told what that was because, again, this is during this information blackout. I don't know what she's got. I don't know what she's getting, whether she's being treated for it or anything else.
There's no more fever spikes, and then she's off of antibiotic on pretty much more than a January 16th was 16th. The last day of a PO11 claim.
Okay, it was the PO11
claim. Okay. Infectious disease has signed out, and I think maybe January 8th could be the X-ray. That's the time she may have a little low-grade fever. That is the X-ray we must have done.
Well, she's still been running low-grade
Part
fevers
the
over
fever
the last
woke
week.
Up we must have done on January 8th.
She's been running low-grade fevers over the last week.
And you know, as well as I, that Anastasia's at risk for aspiration,
right?
Whether she's here, home, or at a SNF.
Mm-hmm.
And you may get low-grade fevers, but it doesn't mean there's an indication to treat anything at this point. The big picture, again, is from a pulmonary standpoint, she's stable for discharge. From a cardiac standpoint, she's stable from discharge. From a nutritional standpoint, she's stable for discharge. From her kidney standpoint, she's stable for discharge. And from this blood clot, she's stable for discharge.
Okay, you mentioned her kidneys. What exactly was going on with her kidneys? Because, again, this is something I wasn't told.
I think a nephrologist has seen Dr. Colachana, and then with the hyponatremia, and then because of that SIADH, she lowered the fluids also 70 ml. That's the recommended by Dr. Colachana. And then her creatinine has been stable, so... Dr. Colachan also signed out.
So it wasn't the kidneys itself. They call a nephrologist in to help manage the electrolytes. That's what they do.
Okay.
So from a patient experience and clinical care, I'm catching two things. One is the
juvenile.
Things here. And the second is I'll be talking with the clinical director on Monday to make sure that people communicate if they haven't been already. Is there any concern here about Anastasia's stability for discharge? I'll ask the doctor. Do you have any concerns?
No. Okay. Yolanda, I didn't get a chance to really take a good look at her when I was upstairs. I ran and dropped my stuff off and added her, because I've had to bring in our own medical staff to actually be able to monitor and follow her.
You've done what?
Our own pulsometer, the one that does the respiratory,
You can't do that anymore.
Oh, really?
Really. No equipment comes in the hospital without being tested, certified by our biomedical people. No equipment. That's how fires get started.
This is the handheld one.
Doesn't matter. You can't bring any equipment in the hospital.
But your nurses aren't.
You can't bring
you
any
that.
Equipment in the hospital.
Okay.
Why were you doing that? Were you not getting?
Yeah, no, they weren't telling me anything.
Oh.
At the time that Dr. Armstrong had ordered them not to do this, actually that
now,
same
you know,
day when she did it.
Dr. Armstrong's a PhD in ethics, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
I do understand
just
that. Which
make sure
I'm
she
glad
can.
That was what I was going to say because that actually brings that up, because whenever I've called and spoken to.
Before we get to that. Let's go back to, is there any concern of anybody around this table of whether or not Anastasia is stable for discharge to a SNF unit?
I can't answer that just yet.
Okay. Do you have any concern?
No.
Do you as the attorney have any concern?
I defer to my client.
Okay.
You
guys have been involved in this.
Well,
I would say that
Yolanda is concerned that whatever her condition is, that it is treatable at the next institutions, home, circumstance, wherever she is placed.
You're absolutely right. And as you know, we're bound to make a safe discharge. And if we had any doubt that the SNFs that we recommend were unable to care for Anastasia, we would not discharge her to that location. There are some that can do more than others, just like we have LTACs for people that are chronically vented. She doesn't need that, but she needs a SNF. And we make sure that, but prior to discharge, there's phone calls that are made, there's records that are exchanged, there's expectations that are exchanged. And if the SNF wants to refuse, they can refuse.
Mm-hmm.
But we've already got two SNFs that have accepted.
And what are right? those? Which are those?
You know what they are.
Who works with her on that? Who works with
the case managers. We wanted to go, you know what the names are. One that you wanted.
You want Birmingham Green.
And then we were originally going to go to.
There was a place in Gainesville.
We talked about a delegate. Remember that on the telephone?
Right.
You know, remember the name of it? It was Office 66 by.
That's Gainesville Rehab.
Right, rehab.
Rehab
right.
and
okay,
health,
but
and health and rehab.
Are both acceptable
something
to you?
Like or? The location of Gainesville would be the only reason why they would consider it, but they fall under the same umbrella of companies that are managed by the ones that she was in that put her here.
Okay.
Which
so
is
Birmingham Green is your
exactly yes
is your preference
right?
That's
okay.
pretty close to me.
Yeah.
You know, I read medical journals for about 20 years, but I'm not a clinician. I'm not going to interfere or second guess any of that. But one point that has been persistent in all the communications that I've had with Yolanda, with her sister's experience here, is the accuracy and the completeness of the records documenting the medical interventions. And there seems to be a gap at times between what she has requested and what she has received and the completeness when she wants to go back and look at it. It seems there's some missing elements, and that kind of disturbs me.
There have been, and I'll say this as gently as I can, there have been communication gaps by us
mm-hmm.
and by Yolanda, right? And, okay, I'm just going to say this, put this on the table. There's been communication gaps on both sides. There was a request for medical records back in December. Those were given. Then there's another one. When you and I talked, those have been given, and there is no overlap. If you want another complete set on a CD, Brian will make it from the beginning to the date. And they are what they are. You can't, in an electronic health record world, you can't parcel out medical records. You just can't. Unless it's the date. You
is
know.
This is this readable on a standard PC?
No.
Or oh, so how?
Oh,
what?
Wait. There are, yes.
Or
this,
an Apple
the
computer.
DVD,
the DVD.
They are, yes.
No.
But it's not like pulling up, I'm just warning you, pulling up electronic health records is not like reading a book.
Mm-hmm.
They don't work like that.
Right.
I mean, you know, you know, you got to know where you're looking and where everything is.
Right.
But I'm assuring you today that you have all the records from whatever you requested to whatever date you requested. There is no gaps. And if you want another set, I will get you another set from the day of arrival to date.
Okay. Part of what Delegate Marshall was talking about is that the set that I had requested in December that I received, I guess it was shortly after the blackout on information was given, for lack of a better term. And compared to the version that I was given by Brian, Brian's is 90 pages short. Now, and it covers the same time. Actually, his is covers two or three additional days, but his documents are 90 pages shorter than what the other ones were. What the original
is it possible that what was requested the first time is different from what was requested the second time? Because there's a lot of different boxes to check off. So, you know, without...
No, I checked off complete record, everything.
Just that one check that says complete record?
Mm-hmm, that you want
that
complete record. And
sometimes there are some notes and things like that, I think, that do... That's why I encourage everybody to check everything. So,
okay.
The other thing is that when the medical record, when we give it to you,
mm-hmm.
may not be complete. Because there may be notes that physicians and
right, that haven't put
have
in.
Not put in by that. Because
right,
you're just getting
right.
it at that moment.
You look really
so.
Familiar to me. You really do. It just dawned on me. I know you from somewhere. Well, and I understand
but
that. And I do. I agree
everything.
With that. I agree that there's sometimes that
yeah.
it takes a time for me to get upstairs to downstairs. But
okay.
in which case,
wait,
the first set would have been
just
short
get a whole
versus
new,
yours.
A whole new set Monday.
But
tell you
anyway.
What. Whole new set.
Okay.
Throw away all the old stuff, or keep it, just get the whole
stuff.
Just
okay.
check it and say these will put old on them. Okay.
So we need to come back to...
Well, no, there's the question that we've, the two things, actually. The Ms. Dr. Armstrong being a PhD. Now
we're
going
to get into that, but we need to get this, that's what we meant to be. It's stability for discharge. Is there any concern, because that's why we're meeting here today, and we have the doctor... about stable for discharge.
Claudia questions. Now, the fact that the pericardial effusion has gotten smaller, I'm guessing that the expectation is that it's going to continue to get smaller?
Yes, there's always this amount of fluid inside the pericardial
right,
center.
Right, because
yes.
It has to be to keep the heart
yes.
fluid. Now, the calcifications, there is stenosis in the heart that was not there at the original, or actually the last three echoes that they did. And so and I know the fluid there is there, or my from what I've read, and again, like Dr. Delegate Marshall said, I'm not a clinician, but I have been taking care of my sister for the last 11 years and reading a lot of medical reports, that part of the purpose, or maybe even the primary purpose of the fluid around the heart is to keep it supple so that it moves. Now, let me ask this question first. What do you believe the cause is that it went from being this humongous thing to now to where it is it's
the I believe that the pneumonia caused an inflammatory reaction to cause the effusion, that's the fluid.
Mm-hmm.
And as the pneumonia resolved, so does the fluid around the heart. It's inflammatory.
Okay. And she
But at the end of the day
pneumonia was done when?
Huh?
When was the When did we say that her pneumonia was finished?
End of December. From a cardiac standpoint, the cardiologist agrees. Anastasia is stable for discharge. Anything else that'd be fine.
Well, he agreed way back when, and she still ended up having these problems.
No, she's still
stable. She was stable with a humongous thing that was causing.
Yes, because they knew it was. Let me finish. They knew it was an inflammatory. That was what they thought, and they also knew that it was going to go away, and they also said in the medical record, follow up in 30 days or so, they can get an outpatient echo. That's normal procedure.
That's actually not what Dr. Balaji said.
That's exactly what's in the record.
Okay.
So, from a cardiac standpoint, Anastasia is stable for discharge. Now, that doesn't mean she's not going to get more testing in the outpatient environment. That doesn't
mm-hmm.
mean that's not going to happen. It will happen.
Mm-hmm.
But she doesn't need to stay in our hospital to do that.
Okay. I understand what you're saying.
Is there any other concern that you have around Anastasia's stability for discharge? Are you okay?
You okay?
I'm an ER doc.
I'm in the right place.
I have cough drops.
I got some.
Sorry. Okay, now everything that you're telling me is based upon the two cardiologists that are here inside ANOVA. And Dr. Balaji himself had stated that to get a completely unbiased second opinion that I needed to go outside of the ANOVA system, and he told me to go through Dr. Tadigari. But instead, what was provided was another internal cardiologist. Now,
Dr. Garfori is the medical director of the unit. He's very independent and will give his own opinion regardless. So, if you want to go get another opinion outside the hospital, that can't happen here. You can discharge her to a SNF, and you can get all the opinions you want.
Okay, but they can't come here to do it?
No.
Okay.
Can you send the records to another doctor if you wanted to? Is that appropriate?
They're yours to do whatever you want with.
I mean,
I didn't think that. You're right. Yeah. Okay, yeah, I could do that and they could look over the records rather than having to look at her.
Right. I mean, I don't know if that's done, but sometimes it's done.
As far as discharge to a SNF, saying that we all know that they can refuse, but that... Now, it's my understanding that SNFs don't have respiratory therapists on staff and that they don't do percussion therapy.
I don't know what the capability... Do you know what they are? You know what they do? No. Any care that she needs, she will get at the SNF.
But if they don't provide it, how's she going to get it?
If she needs it, then they'll have someone come in and do it. You know, I don't know what to tell
well,
you.
Well, I'm asking this question is because we ran into this situation before. in regarding to her respiratory.
Before we get to that, what I need to know from you, are you comfortable that Anastasia is stable for discharge from this hospital today?
I don't know that.
What other question do you need to have answered to make that decision? Not where she's going to go, but mm-hmm. she's stable for discharge today.
I'd like to speak to Dr. Balaji. I'd like to speak to doctor with the
K. That's why we had this meeting, because we talked to all of those people already.
I understand that you talked to them, and please do not take this the wrong way, but I won't trust you.
Okay, that's fine. You don't have to. We had the meeting today so we get everybody around the table so we're all on the same page. Mm-hmm. We talked about cardiac status. Mm-hmm. We talked about pulmonary status. Mm-hmm. We talked about the blood clot. Mm-hmm. We talked about the nutrition. And we've answered all your questions. We have witnesses to say we've answered our questions around stability for discharge. We found two things we need to follow up on, and maybe a third thing with Dr. Armstrong. But at this point in time, I think we're all very reasonable that there's no indication to keep, and we got two CMS letters saying that this patient, Anastasia, doesn't need to be in the hospital.
Well, it's now in front of an administrative judge.
Okay. But that's where we are. So, and
what ongoing? Go ahead.
Can I rephrase the question? That she's stable for discharge, if not today, then maybe Monday or whatever. But
she's
again,
not going anywhere today.
No, all right. Well, but that's a logical corollary to be discharged. She needs to be assured that these other questions, that if Anastasia needs care for X, Y, and Z that relate to her current condition, that she can get institutional treatment, or that the place where she's going can provide that kind of treatment. You don't need this setting. If she can be assured of that, my guess is she'd say yes.
If I can assure that, will you say yes?
Yeah, if she gets all of that and...
Anything that Dr. Thedagori thinks that Anastasia needs, she's the attending physician, if we assure that she gets that at the SNF, then in your... Would you consent to discharge?
Can I ask a question? Who becomes the guardian at that point?
She's always the guardian.
She's always well, but
so that's a different question.
No, I mean that. No, I mean.
So I think.
Yeah, power attorney. She's always the power attorney.
She's next of kin. Absolutely, I think she's the only relative, and that under the medical statute, if you go through there's no spouse. You get to sister. You're next of kin.
Well, and that would be the logical conclusion, you would think.
That's statutory. Now it can be overridden by a judge, and I don't know that we need to get there. We reach some kind of resolution, which is why we're here, trying to see if we can work this out for something that's probably in everyone's best interest.
I understand that. Well, and understanding
this is a
now.
This conversation from the doctors.
Yeah.
Okay.
Are you okay with that? They don't need to be part of that.
Okay, I see what you're
saying. Don't have a dog in that fight.
Okay.
I ask, what are the discharge orders that Anastasia would be leaving this hospital with? Maybe that, like, you
That's
mentioned
a
medication. She's going to continue on that medication for a period of time? Are there other medications, anything to do with the cardiac, the pleural infusion? Is she on any medication that impacts that?
I don't think so. All the medications, whatever she's on right now, she can continue.
Okay.
But
it sounds like the only one you added
discharge
was
a patient. There's what's
was
called
the blood clot one.
There's a whole after visit.
She's on Lovenox. That is to prevent the blood clots because of lying down. There is more risk of immobility. There is more risk of forming new blood clots and the PE. So that's the.
Okay.
Reason why she's on the prophylaxis, but this is not to treat the therapeutic dosage
for the existing one.
Right.
Existing one is already showing it is resolving.
It's not a therapeutic dosage to get rid of it. Why not?
No, anticoagulants don't get rid of the blood clots.
They prevent them from moving and getting bigger.
Forming. So that's what we're doing. We're doing a subclinical dose to prevent further clot formation.
Okay.
It's not treating the clot. The clot resolves on its own.
Right. I understand that.
They
generally do it for like 60 to 90 days is generally the regular course on something like that, correct? But you're saying this is more of a prophylaxis type?
This is for prophylaxis for immobile patients we do, not to form the new blood clots.
Right.
So, but why wouldn't it be a therapeutic dosage for the given 60 to 90 days?
Based on the last the ultrasound, the hematologist Dr. Oeschler recommended Mm-hmm. No need for therapeutic dosage. Since it's resolved.
Is it a greater risk at a higher rate?
Yes.
Of bleeding and different things?
Okay. Well, if they were worried about blood around the heart, then yes, it would be.
Right.
So, okay. And see, that, to me, sets off warning signals that you're trying to hedge your bets. And I don't mean this in a bad way. I just don't know any other way to put that.
Okay. That's fine.
It's a balancing act, and I understand that anything as far as medical can be a balancing act, because when you introduce one thing here, it can affect something right. over here.
So, but at the end of the day, the doctors recommend the subtherapeutic dose to prevent blood clots from happening because of the immobility of anesthesia. That's their opinion, and that's what we're going with. And they're the experts on this. So that brings us back to where we were again. Are we stable for discharge? And can we discharge, can we move forward with discharge on anesthesia and get the right case management people involved, get the right SNFs, and move forward with this?
If she's going to be getting everything that she needs where she's going, I don't necessarily see a problem with that. But again, like I said, I haven't seen her yet today. I ran in, I dropped my stuff off, I changed the channel on the television, and then left.
Okay. Good. So we're all okay with that? Yes?
Based upon what
Based
I see.
Based on what you saw yesterday?
Yeah. Yeah, or what I see today, yeah.
Delegate Marshall, do you have any concerns at this point?
Sorry.
No, okay. Well, you're integrally involved with this. So if you have any questions, I'd like to have them brought to the table now.
Well, if she needed care at the skilled nursing facility, she could get it.
Yes.
I mean, even if she had to be taken to another hospital.
Yes.
Correct.
If something, she had an acute change,
right.
And anesthesia will have an acute change. You realize that, right?
Eventually.
At any point in time. And not a thing anyone can do about it here. She is at high risk for any kind of acute change because she's not moving. That's the way.
Well, she's not moving here.
Right.
See, she moves when she's at home.
Okay, but you understand where I'm going, what I'm saying. She's at risk for any kind of acute change mm-hmm. based on her physiological status.
Okay.
Yeah. As the attorney, any concerns?
It sounds to me, it feels like things have been answered, but Yolanda's the one who's intimately.
Right.
So
Maureen,
I don't have them.
Brian, you guys. So let's move on to the other issue, and I'll platform the conversation. I know Dr. Armstrong can be headstrong.
Okay.
I know that she can, and I'll be talking to her about that.
Okay.
All right, because I know that you and her were not getting along too well.
I mean, I got a phone call. I was told we were going to have a meeting. I came in for the meeting, and the meeting wasn't exactly what I was led to believe it was, but, I mean, that was it. That was my first and only contact with her.
Okay. So I want you to know I'm going to talk with her about that, because I know that whatever the interaction was, it wasn't as positive as it could be.
Okay.
Is that reasonable to say?
I don't know that I have a positive or negative opinion of it.
Okay, I thought you had a concern about the conversation.
I have had a concern with the fact that the nurses were ordered not to have, to give me any information.
Okay, that I will take care of.
Now, and the other thing about that is that, or that falls under within the same category, is that, and the nurses would say that. Actually, one of the nurses, when I would ask, said I had to ask Dr. Tanigari. Now, any time that I've spoken to Dr. Tanigari about anything that was outside of the overall umbrella of her health, internal medicine or anything like that, I was directed to go to one of the specialists because that is their specialty area and that's what they know, and to answer any specific questions. And on one particular occasion, and this was relayed via a nurse, because I didn't get to speak to you directly, that to get any medical information on my sister, I had to talk to Dr. Armstrong. So I couldn't get medical information from an MD. I had to go to a PhD to get medical information.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure whether that was a miscommunication or what that was, but mm-hmm. have you had any problem talking with her?
No,
have
I
any
have
of the
pretty
consultants
much
have
every day
talking?
Whenever I don't,
okay.
I leave a message.
So she calls you every day, leaves messages.
Not every day, but yeah.
Not every day, but
she's called several times, numerous times.
So
yes.
There has been communication from physicians.
Yeah. With Dr. Tanigari, the specialist. It took well over a week for cardio to get back to us.
Aren't they mostly signed off now?
No, this was before. This was, I think,
you're
just after they had signed off. No, I'm talking January, about two
This is January 15th that Dr. Armstrong stipulated that Yolanda could ask questions only between 9 and 5 of
right.
the nurses.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what happened was there was a visit from you at around 11 o'clock and you wanted one of the physicians paged.
No, I had actually been here since earlier that day, but the nurses got several admissions. They were busy. I had asked, they said, well, we'll get back to you. And when they came back to address the question that I had asked, well, we're not allowed to give you any information. All of that has to come from the doctor. And so I told her, okay, we'll page the doctor. I honestly didn't realize what time it was. I didn't realize how long I'd been sitting there waiting for her to come back. And then that's the night that they paged her. It was close to 11 o'clock or somewhere thereabouts. And
so
that was the same night that I was told that I needed to talk to the
just
PhD.
Give the context.
Yeah, so I think what we need to do is just is talk with the floor, make sure that people are talking to her. And I think the only person on the case right now is you. Is that maybe Dr. Eschler or not? No.
The wound care nurse was there the other day.
So you guys have a line of communication. Keep it open and keep communicating. Connecting with each other.
The other question that I have regarding the SNF and the PT and the respiratory is that again, I'm guessing that I don't know if maybe they can bring them in from the outside. Our experience has been that if they don't provide it, if they don't have it in-house, you just don't get it.
It's probably true.
Well, then how is she going to get percussion therapy?
Does she need it?
Yes.
According to whom?
According
to you or
no,
the
according to the doctors. I mean, she was getting it before, and it's to help with the atelectasis to keep things moving and to get the mucus out of her lungs. Part of this is that I'm working through this in my mind as I'm saying it.
When we discharge, the doctors will decide what treatment she needs and which place has that treatment that is required. And those will line up, and then we'll have a safe discharge.
Okay. Taking away her percussion therapy and stuff that she needs for her respiratory system, I don't think would be a safe discharge.
Okay. That's up to the doctors. Doctors decide the treatment that's needed.
Okay, well, see, here we're going to run into a problem.
Is she having this treatment now?
Yes.
In this hospital?
Yes. Yes, she's having it now.
Well, why would she not get it at the new place?
I don't even know. All I'm saying is whatever treatment the doctors decide she needs, that's what will line up with the SNF. And whether the SNF has it or not, I don't know. I don't know.
Well, I can already tell you that they don't. Because this is something that we went back
ordered,
and forth of before.
They do not bring it in if it's ordered?
Not all of them do. I haven't run into one that has of yet, but maybe they had other reasons for refusing
okay.
her.
Whatever the doctor's order, that's what we'll make sure the SNF has.
And that will be made sure of before she goes?
Of course.
Okay, so PT and respiratory.
Okay, the pulmonologist, they were supposed to, and they never got back to me as saying whether or not you needed to write a prescription or they did. So
I'm happy to do
about
that.
The,
if whatever prescriptions I need to do, I'm happy to do that.
Right. Okay. If, as they, Dr. Tadigari and the rest, they go along with, this, and they're checking with the SNFs and these are the things that we feel that she needs. If I have questions of the specialist to have them explain why they came to that specific determination that she does or does not need this, will I be able to speak with them?
Yes and no.
Okay.
You sound like a politician.
You're rubbing off on me.
Well, just an observation.
I'm just going to say this.
Mm-hmm.
As
just throw it out
as,
there.
As correct as I can say.
Mm-hmm.
I know that you have a lot of knowledge around medicine, and I know that you have a lot of concern for Anastasia,
mm-hmm.
and I know that you have you question everything, mm-hmm. and I get all that. The concern I have is that you equate not having an answer to your question to becoming not stable for discharge. And that doesn't necessarily, that bridge doesn't connect. And you got to give the physicians the latitude and trust that they have and the knowledge that they have that they're not going to discharge somebody in an unstable condition. Not having a question answered, not all of us have all of our questions answered 100% of the time. I know that I've answered many of your questions in the past, and I know that you're not happy with those answers. And you equate that to not having your questions answered. When I give you an answer, but you don't like that answer.
Let me just finish,
because this is very difficult for me to say.
Go ahead.
So when I say yes and no, mm-hmm. yes, you can talk with them if mm-hmm. they're still on the case. But if you don't get the answer you want, that doesn't mean all the work we've done around the table today goes backward. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm concerned about. So when I say yes and no, that's what I mean.
Okay.
How was that?
Pretty good.
If they've signed off the case,
yeah, they've already done that.
Yeah, if they've signed off the case, I'm not sure that we're going to be able to provide them.
They're out of the picture if they signed off.
Correct,
yeah.
And they
yeah.
really
okay,
wouldn't
well
be
then
able
that,
to
so
answer.
So it's the new doctor that has to answer.
Right, they wouldn't be able to answer your question without being actively involved in the case. They wouldn't
okay.
be able to give a medical opinion to you, ethically, morally,
oh.
you know, under.
Well,
under
they could answer to the point of discharge. Everything else is.
No,
she's saying if they've already signed up on
the
case.
If they've signed up the case,
then
they're not actively involved in the case.
Yeah. Dr.
Okay.
Gowdy signed off the case. Dr. Pagali signed off the case. Dr.
Okay, well then how.
I think your best point of contact is the person sitting across the table right here.
Well, there's been an issue with that from the second week, but that was never addressed. But that's neither here nor there now because that's been weeks ago. Then how will the determination be made whether she does or does not need percussion therapy, PT therapy? I mean, can you tell me that now if that's a decision?
I can call pulmonology, Dr. Matthew Williams' group, and
right.
then I'll get you an answer.
Okay,
but again,
then, so, but
not,
then
I
would
not
be able to
speak
with
them.
I don't
know much about the SNFs, whether...
Are you going to do a formal consult or are you just going to call?
They were already in the case in the
okay.
beginning, and
okay.
they signed off.
Okay.
So I think, Ms. Yolanda, you have been asking about the percussion therapy prescription.
I've been asking for that for about a month now. Yes.
So if that is the prescription, I don't know whether it could be done at home or SNF by yourself. I'm not sure about it.
Well, for the home
if that
issue,
prescription
that, that's something
to be
that
provided,
she will need when she gets there.
Either I can get from the pulmonology or I can write by myself.
But
the percussion therapy about the providing in the SNFs, I don't know about it.
Okay.
I haven't worked in any of the SNFs other than hospitals.
And other providers besides respiratory therapists can do percussion therapy.
Don't they have to be trained on that?
Well, they would have to be trained. Yes, they would have to be trained. But I would think it would be something, they may not have a respiratory therapy department at the skilled nursing facility, but the nurses or the LPNs or would be able to do percussion therapy.
And this I guess, would be kind of like an on-the-job therapy, or they'd come here, or however it is that is done. Don't you have to be certified for something like that?
Not certification. It would be a competency that the providers would go through, just like starting an intravenous or...
Okay, but that's not something that could be done.
Case manager to...
Case manager fixes.
To get behind
this right,
information.
Right, but is that something that can be done overnight, given a competency on something like
look,
that?
Like I said before, let's go backward. I said, whatever the doctors determine is necessary, that's what will determine where they go. And we will align those elements. That's
So if they need percussion therapy, possibly you'll call ahead and nurse A or B.
If they believe
prepared.
That the nurse percussion
okay.
is, you know, that's
all
it.
Right.
Okay.
Are patients normally discharged when they need that kind of therapy?
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm not sure that's standard of care anymore. I mean, from what I used to do, and I haven't done internal medicine quite a long time because I'm an ER doc, I'm not sure PCT's done as much as it had been in the past. But I don't know. Okay, so I don't know.
That was what opened up her lung the last time, and when she was not getting it or was not getting it properly is what allowed the lower lobe to recollapse.
Yeah. Okay, so we're at the top of the hour. I believe we've answered the stability question, and we've answered the majority of the questions, and I got 3 follow-ups. I need to get back with them next week.
Plus the complete medical records.
Another set.
Complete medical today. Record up to that day.
Up to today.
Up to today.
Right. Whatever day you get the, whatever day you put the request in. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay. Are we good?
Okay. Good. 3:00.